Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Beltway Blitz comes your way in just a moment. You want your local teams to make the best decisions for the future, don't you? Don't forget to do the same for yourself. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad can guide you and your family in the right direction. They'll help you draft your will, set up a trust, create a medical power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys, kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. If you mention G&D, you'll get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Got some audio I want to play for you guys coming up. Next segment, including Bill Belichick's breakdown of Jaden Daniels. Thought that was interesting. Also, Micah Parsons was not surprised at all that Dan Quinn wanted Jaden Daniels based on how he always felt about quarterbacks who could run. I thought that was really compelling. So some Commanders-related content, audio that I think you'll want to hear coming up in about 25 minutes. But let's get to the Beltway Blitz right now. And we'll start out on the ice. The Capitals in the news today because they cleaned out their lockers and met with the media end of season. They would have been playing a game five tonight, but it's not necessary as they got swept. Sammy Silber joins us. So, Sammy, why don't we start with TJ Oshie? I thought that was pretty important today. He was asked about his future. What did you take away from his answers as to whether or not we'll see him play again?
Yeah, he was honestly very open and candid about it. I think that was a really important thing to go over, and I think he realized, you know, the magnitude of the situation, and he kind of explained that, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, Osh loves the game. He doesn't want to necessarily step away from it, but he's got to address the issues with his back that have just been lingering, and, you know, he's not going to say that it's, you know, time to step away, but at the same time, he needs to find answers with his back so that he's not in out of the lineup that whole time, just because it's been a hard and frustrating process for him. And, you know, management is going to give him the time to evaluate his options and make a decision. So lots to think about for him going forward.
Do you think he'll retire?
I mean, this isn't the answer you guys want, but like, it's not mine to say, you know. I'm not sure. I think that he loves the game. I think that the Washington Capitals are a better team with TJ Oshie. You know, he's the glue. He's the motor. You know, personally, I think, you know, if he can play, he will play. We've seen him fight through just about everything, even when his back has had him literally on the floor. He still finds a way to come back. But if he can't find a long-term fix, I don't think he's back.
About 48 hours removed now from the end of their season, How should we view it in totality? Down the stretch, I was post trade deadline. That was fun, right? A bunch of kids and a bunch of old guys, including Oshie, putting himself together with Band-Aids and hope to be able just to make the postseason. But big picture, I don't know if I was thrilled with everything. How should we feel about this year, Sammy?
I think you should feel pretty good, honestly, if you're a Caps fan. I think nobody expected this team to make the playoffs, right? Like they were cut out from, the start, and you had some big things happen. You lose Backe a handful of games in, and then down the stretch you say goodbye to Kuznetsov, and then you sell a couple pieces at the deadline. You don't think you're making it. Ovi's not scoring at the rate he's usually scoring at. The power play is not clicking. There's just so many different things happening that don't indicate that this team is going to make any kind of run for a playoff spot. And then down the stretch, you see Charlie Lindgren, put on a show between the pipes. You see the young guys, Lapierre, McMichael, step up into these huge roles, and this veteran group and these underdogs and these young guys come together and literally grind out win after win with their backs against the wall every night. And they sneak into the playoffs and, devastate a couple other teams in the process, like on the last night of the season. That's a lot to be proud of. So I think if you're a Cavs fan, you shouldn't, it's not a pretty end. Nobody wants to be swept. I mean, the Rangers are a powerhouse. They won the President's Trophy for a reason. They were the better team, plain and simple. But I think if you're a Cavs fan, there's a lot to take away and a lot to be proud of.
What is the outlook and maybe the blueprint for this offseason if Backstrom and Oshie are both on some version of LTIR, hypothetically? That's 17% of their cap that presumably they could spend. I mean, they could really be aggressive. Like, hypothetically, what could they try to accomplish if they have a bunch of money to roll with for the first time in a long time?
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Like, this might be the first summer that if things go in a certain direction, they'll have a big chunk of change, right? I think something that you have to address is your offense a little bit. Just that was the biggest thing that kind of stopped this team in its tracks, was just the inability to really score goals on a consistent basis. And so I think when you're looking toward free agency, and McCollum said this too, is that, that's what they're going to look at, through whether it be through trades or free agency, finding some help in the form of offense and finding some pieces that can come in and really work with those young guys stepping up to establish, something special building in the future, especially, with Ovechkin entering the final 2 years and tracking down his record. The goals have to come from somewhere, right? So I think you use that money wisely. I think that you invested in a couple of the pieces you already have, and then you go and you see who you can pick up, whether it be, a big name on the trade market, or you pick up a couple big names in free agency and make a splash. So we'll see where they go, but offense is the biggest need right now.
Sammy, thank you as always. Have a great week.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
We'll see you soon. Hit the sound for the Local 53, please. Our guy Earl Forsey joins us to talk about the Washington football gentleman. Earl, big picture, what'd you make of the draft?
Loved it. First of all, I'm just glad it's done. I'm glad they went with Jaden Daniels. I'm glad there was no drama. I'm glad it seems, and I tweeted this about when Luke McCaffrey was picked and they showed the video of the McCaffrey family. They were genuinely, it seemed, happy that he was picked by the Commanders. I mean, this is a new era. They're not going to fix it all in one off season. The left tackle is still a glaring need for the team, even though I know they picked one, and we'll see about Brandon Coleman, but all in all, I mean, B plus A. I mean, it's a good time to be a Commanders fan. It may take a year or two, but it looks like finally this team is on its way back to being relevant again in the NFL.
You mentioned being excited about Daniels. Danny and I started the show by arguing a little bit as to whether or not they did enough around him. I like that they got him a tight end and a receiver. It would have been nice if they got a left tackle, but I think he'll benefit from the defensive additions, because they were so bad on defense. And if they're more respectable on that side of the ball, it makes his job a little easier. Where are you at on that? Danny kind of wanted him to be more aggressive going out and getting weapons.
Well, I think a part of this was the way they drafted. because they did not. Look, you can talk about reaches and things like that in the draft. The one thing, and all these experts were right about saying it, that they had a need a tackle, but, you know, all these tackles went, and you don't have – everybody's not your first round. So if you can't get up and get a guy in the first round, and then a lot of these guys probably, maybe in their opinion, weren't worth going that high in the second round with. Do you know – so in generally, I think they did what they could. I love the McCaffrey pick. I'm a big fan. I know you guys had him on yesterday. I think that's big. Look, you just have to – here's another thing, and Danny was absolutely right. You have to have Jahan Dotson be the guy he was 2 years ago and not a guy suddenly that all drops passes when he was like the sure-handed Jahan Dotson. So you need to fix some of the guys that are there, and probably with a better coaching staff, you're going to do that. But, you know, I think when you see what they did and not – going, it's not just, well, we need this and we're going to reach to get a guy because we need a tackle. I was looking at tackles. Do you have any idea? Do you know how many tackles were picked overall in the draft last Thursday,
OT,
Friday, Saturday?
OT or DT?
Offensive tackles. How many? We know eight went in the first round, which is
12,
ridiculous.
13?
I'll say
12.
20.
In,
I'll say
12
20.
In the first two rounds. 27 total tackles went. So, you know, you're taking a flyer, you know, a guy like Coleman, and there are some, and you've had, you know, the guests on, these analysts that they kind of think that maybe he will project to a tackle. Let me read you something for about thinking what you think you know, what you really do or don't know in a draft. Let me read you a little bit of a draft profile on someone. Feet are only above average, may have limited range and pass protection, lacks a nasty demeanor, looks a little stiff. Making the transition from right tackle to left tackle. We'll see about that at the combine. Don't think he'll ever be considered an elite pass protector in the NFL. Now, that was about what player, do you think?
He's saying he's reading here. It, so it's a stud. I'm going to say
Trent Williams.
Trent Williams.
That's funny.
All
That's
of great. That. Don't think he may not make that. So you don't know. You really don't. And I think that's where you are with these guys. You trust in these guys, and namely Adam Peters now for making these picks. I love the fact, I know it's an intangible, it's not a measurable, but I love the fact that a lot of these guys were team captains, and that's been brought up a lot. Nine picks, and I counted last night, double check, six of the nine were team captains, you know, in their teams. We're talking Michigan, national champion, Jaden Daniels at LSU. It's a good thing. And the bottom line, gentlemen, if Jaden Daniels hits and he's the guy, that's you're winning the draft. That's an A+. If he doesn't, it's great to have the other guys, but that's the key guy right there. The first guy you pick number two.
I wonder if that other part of the scouting report had the team president once turned into a useless feud with this player down the line, but I digress.
But can you believe that?
No,
one of those
funny.
Was Walter Camp football I'm reading off.
So I know. That, I mean,
you just don't know. I mean, that's the thing. And it's old, well, you don't know for 3 years. And you know, look, we look back at the last four draft classes that, you know, hey, Ron, well, you know, I did what we could do. Okay, you don't really know until you see these guys in the field. The rookie mini camp is coming up either this next couple of weeks, and you know how that goes too. Grant, you've been out there as soon as these guys hit the field. And I'm talking about Jaden Daniels. People are watching, and you'll be hearing things right away if he doesn't look like the guy you pick number two to save your franchise.
Earl, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Yep. Hey, a quick question for you guys.
Yes. Yep.
I know you got to go, but see, I'm stuck in the number two slot, mm-hmm. So I think I'm demoted. I did something yesterday. I want you to guess what it was very quickly. Go ahead.
You Farmer's
did
Market.
Something around the house yesterday needed to be done.
Around the house. I'm going to say I'm going to say you hung curtains.
Hung a picture.
No. Put the Christmas tree away.
Congratulations.
Let's go.
That's a big day.
April 29th, baby. I was waiting until the draft, and
that's
now that it's
incredible.
Done, I can safely put the tree away.
So what's
a little
funny
late
about
this year.
That is we have a ton of trees, and my wife handles everything upstairs, but I have a sports tree in my man cave in the basement, and I put mine away last weekend before Caps-Rangers game one.
See? I like the lights.
I do the lights every night. It's got, like, burgundy and gold, Nats ornaments, Orioles ornaments, a bunch of stuff, Caps stuff, and I put it away last weekend. My wife doesn't care. She lets me do whatever I want in the basement. And I was like, you know what? It's time. But I was thinking about
my wife
just
and
going
my son put
with.
It away last year, Grant, and things have to be put in certain places. I couldn't find cords and lights, and it took me 2 weeks to put everything up. It wasn't in the right spot. So now it's done properly, and you know, a couple of months from now, I'll probably put it back up again.
See you, buddy.
Our guy, Earl Forsey.
Hit that national sounder, please. Voice of the Nats, Dave Jagler, joins us to talk about the Nationals. Jax, can they play in Miami again? That was a lot of fun, huh?
Well, my Christmas tree's away by New Year's Day, or my wife is going to have me, in a vice. So I don't know what's up with you guys.
New Year's Day is a bit aggressive. Let's relax at the Jaguars.
I know. I'm telling you, it's.
Are you guys also the family that puts it up on Christmas Eve?
No. We get a solid month. I mean, we're there. The Saturday after Thanksgiving, Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Okay, I can do that.
We get a full 5 weeks. But I'm telling you, once it's December 31st, midnight, it's gone.
Yeah, I think every couple has one of two styles. One is, all right, it's midnight on Christmas. It's time to put that tree away and get rid of it. The other is, I just want to leave it up. I just want to be reminded of Christmas, and it's out for weeks and weeks and weeks.
I want it up on November 1st. My wife's policy is Thanksgiving. So after Thanksgiving, we can put it up. But I like to extend the season a little bit. And then I'm good on – I normally put the ornaments, take the tree down – while I'm watching playoff football, generally the 49ers are beating some mediocre team, and I put the tree away on like January 20-something.
I guess that goes in line with Danny's question, though. Like, you're on to the next thing. I mean, we have to put the Marlins to bed, and it's on to the Rangers. So, once Christmas is done, it's on to New Year. So,
I found a bell here. This is a transition bell.
There we go. Boom.
Thank you.
Dave Jagler.
Well done. Get us back on track.
First time since 2019 for the good guys. C.J. Abrams has 7 bombs. How about it?
Man, it's just been awesome to watch. And when we talk to folks around the league with other clubs, I mean, that's the first player that they highlight. Like, what a difference, even from mid last year. And we saw it in the first full year from what it was in 2022. And, I mean, it's been terrific. And he's the guy you want up there in a key spot. And I think having Jacob Young in the 9 spot, getting on base for him, allowing to be in RBI situations to deliver extra base hits. I mean, the growth has been tremendous. You've seen great at-bat quality. And, I think I went on your show earlier and thought that he might steal 50 bases because he had that 1-3-walk, 3-steal game. The problem is he's hitting too many extra base hits to steal 50 bases. But I think we'll live with, 60 extra base hits and 30 steals.
It doesn't go in the book as a steal, Jags, but him getting home last night on a ball that didn't clear the dirt – wild pitch, pass ball, whatever it was called.
Incredible.
That's you just go, oh my, that's what like the 12-year-old that's really fast in Little League does. Like
it took my breath. I mean, I was calling, it kind of took my breath away. Like he was just like shot out of a cannon, and it was such a great anticipation. And the catcher Fortes for the Marlins grabs it, and it was kind of like the Roadrunner cartoons. Beep beep, he was by him, and Fortes played the role of Wile E. Coyote, and he spun around in a circle. Where did he go? I mean, that was incredible. But credit to baseball acumen to be getting a good secondary lead, anticipate the ball in the dirt, and then just the pure athletic ability to pull it off.
Well, there are two guys with double-digit steals on the team, and neither is C.J. Abrams. It tells you everything about the philosophy here, about what's going on. There's a lot of
52 steals.
Yeah.
There's only one other team with more than 33.
There's a bunch of crooked numbers there. Guys like Luis Garcia have 5. Trey Lipsom's got 5 in his limited duty. It's been incredible. There seems to be a philosophy here, Jags. They are embracing the new way of playing, huh?
Well, and they have to, because they're not a home run hitting team, and if you're not a home run hitting team and you don't steal bases, how exactly are you going to score runs? You're waiting for 3 singles or a double and a couple of singles. So yeah, they're really pushing the envelope, and there have been a couple of games where they've run into outs and it was costly. That happened in the 9th inning of the game against the Dodgers when they were over aggressive and ran into an out. I think they had 3 outs on the bases in that game. So it's that goes hand in hand with it, but for the most part, This style of baseball has played off well for them. And I think they need that in this series, because just talking to folks with the Rangers, their catcher is struggling to throw, their pitchers don't hold runners on. You're facing a slugging offense. Well, how are you going to beat them? If you can get on base, create some havoc, and that's how you can win this series.
I'm excited to watch Mackenzie Gordonite in Texas taking on Jonathan Gray, a couple of former top-of-the-board draft picks who have thrown the ball really well. Gore's got a 3.01 ERA. Gray comes in with a 2.9. Nice little litmus test for the 500 Nats. I know the Rangers are only one over, but they're the defending champs.
Yeah, I mean, you come in and you look at their lineup, and it's imposing. And I thought Gore's last outing was something we didn't see a lot of last year. We saw, 10 or 12 really dominant starts, but then we saw, a bunch of clunkers where he might go 4 innings and give up 6 runs. And there were a lot of base runners in that start against the Dodgers, yet he was able to gut through 6 innings, 1 run, took a tough luck loss because the Nationals didn't score in that game for him. But I think that's the growth and maturity. If he can avoid the blow-up start and still give you, which we expect, the 10 to 15 brilliant starts, his ERA is going to stay around the low threes where it is right now.
Jags on the bad side. It's been kind of a rough start. Not even kind of. It's been a rough start to the year for K-Bert Ruiz. Doesn't look comfortable at the plate. That sickness that just wouldn't go away kept him out for a while. Just, you know, not in rhythm. Just doesn't seem like he's having a whole lot of fun right now. Only 12 games played here over the course of the year, so I expect a turnaround, but it's been a rough go of it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he hasn't really barely – he actually, his last at-bat yesterday hit a hard ground ball. I mean, he has not hit a ball hard left-handed in the five games that he's back from the injured list, and he did hit a home run batting right-handed for his only hit the other day. So, yeah, it is a bit of a sluggish start. So I think you've kind of take the sickness and the week and a half off as being a big factor there, and hopefully he can turn it around. But, you know, on the flip side, when you have – you know, him struggling, you had Gallo struggling, he's on the injury list now. Rosario, I mean, this guy unfortunately can't buy a hit, and you feel like the last week he's hit about six balls right on the nose that have been caught. So hopefully, you know, once the calendar turns to May, you're hoping he gives you something. You know, historically, Rosario's been a very slow starter. He's a 215 career hitter in the month of April and basically 270 in every other month. I think a lot of that was Minnesota in cold weather. So hopefully maybe we're due to see something from him because there are enough positives that if those guys get going, then I think you'd really have something cooking offensively.
Jags, always good to chat with you, buddy. Thank you, and have a good call tonight.
All right, when are you guys shopping for Valentine's? Are you looking now, or what are you doing?
Mid-June.
That's a great question. June. Yeah, normally I kind of get going here. Let's see, February, carry the two. I think right around May 13th is when I'll start.
Well, you know, are we going to see you guys out at the ballpark next weekend? It's the big Star Wars weekend for the Jays in town, so I know you're going to be big for that, right?
I will be there. I'm very excited about it. I'm not a Star Wars guy, though. I'm just happy to have baseball being played. Danny will be there to nerd out for bobblehead.
That is correct.
I mean, the Finnegan bobblehead is sweet. And as you know, in the commercials we play, he did help destroy the Death Star, which I didn't know. I mean, it's not in his player bio, but we've had to work that in, that he helped destroy the Death Star, according to that commercial.
Yeah, people don't know about that. He switched off his targeting computer. They ask at Rebel Command, is everything all right? He says, everything's fine. I got it. He uses the Force. It's a whole thing. It's about the size of a Womp Rat. He used to bullseye with his T-16 back home. It's a little more than 2 meters, Dave, FYI.
Wow, that's impressive.
Thank you.
I'm not worthy.
See you, Dave. Be good, buddy.
See you, buddy.
All right, guys.
Dave Jagler, Charlie Slows on the call. Tonight, 8 o'clock, first pitch in Texas. You beat the Rangers, make it 5 in a row. Now you're cooking with grease.
Why not?
Let's do this thing. Next, what Bill Belichick thinks of Jaden Daniels. Plus, why Micah Parsons knew Dan Quinn would be all over Jaden Daniels. This is The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. A pretty, I would say, very pleasant Tuesday afternoon in the nation's capital. It's warm outside. You know how I know that?
How?
Because the Nationals are not playing at home. I have been to Nats Park, I don't know, 8 times, 7 times, something like that this year. It's been freezing cold every single time. There have been 1 or 2 pleasant Nationals games so far this season. It's been cold. They hit the road. It's 80, 75. It is so nice whenever they're not home. They're in Texas today, which means it's nice beautiful out in D.C.
Yeah, so has there been a home game this year that hasn't been cloudy, dreary, and colder than it feels? Or feels colder than it actually
that's
is?
That's literally what you know what I mean?
Yeah, has there actually been one?
Yeah, there's been, when I've been there once, and I think total maybe 2 or 3 max at this point. But yeah, that's what we've been dealing with. All right, this was Bill Belichick draft night. Did you hear any of his coverage?
I did. He's good.
Much better than I anticipated. Brought some energy. Did a nice job. He basically broke down a bunch of his own video and sent clips for people to pull and then talked over it. But this is 2 minutes of him. You know, not all of it translates to radio perfectly because he's talking about certain plays you're not going to see. But you're going to get the gist of him on Jaden Daniels here. This is Belichick, who struggled to pick players. So I'm not telling it's the end-all, be-all. However, is one of the greatest coaches and one of the greatest football minds of all time.
Well, again, I think this is a little similar to the Caleb Williams conversation. I think that that Jaden has a good opportunity to be an outstanding player, and he showed that this year. He won the Heisman Trophy, and he had a lot of great plays. I think for him, a lot of his throws come outside the numbers. He's very fast. He's an excellent runner and scrambler. I think he's going to have to learn to stay in the pocket and read coverages and throw the ball, but he's capable of doing that.
Let's look at some tape to see what the Washington Commanders are getting for Jaden Daniels and what it could look like in the future. Let's go to Bill Belichick's big breakdown with Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. 6'4", big, 210.
Whoa.
Great leader. His teammates really play for him here. He's got a really good touch. Again, a lot of these throws are typical. They're going to come outside the numbers, and it seems like that's where he's most comfortable throwing the ball. You know, this is an example down here with kind of the touch. This is Neighbors at the bottom. He's got single coverage, and Jaden just doesn't put the ball out there high enough, and, you know, Neighbors doesn't really have a shot at it. So his touch and, I would say, you know, inside the numbers, he has great receivers. Neighbors, Taylor, who's going to be a high pick next year. Thomas, he's got some good guys to throw to. And this is, again, another really good throw on the perimeter. This kid's got a good arm. I worked him out last year. He was at the LSU Pro Day a year ago working out those receivers. And this kid can make all the throws. You can see he's really fast here. He's sometimes, I think, a little too quick to pull the ball down, but when he does pull the ball down, he usually runs, and he's going to have to learn to get his eyes downfield. You know, these are the ones you got to hit here. He's got an open receiver. He's got plenty of time in the pocket. And, again, these are the mechanics that we talked about a little earlier in the show.
He'll get better at that.
Yeah, we got to make those. But really, really accurate outside the numbers. Got, like I said, a really good arm. Gives the receiver a chance.
The main thing you're going to hear is he's breaking down a lot of the throws there. Belichick loved watching him throw outside the numbers, but he kept coming back to the inside the numbers stuff, which just not enough of that showed up on his tape. But a big part of that was it was not really a huge part of LSU's offense. Mm-hmm. So the question is, as he does it more, won't he get better at it? I would think so.
One would think.
But it's either something you're comfortable with or you're not. It could also be something that takes a little time where initially he struggles. And it, why do I care? It's a massive part of the NFL offense.
Yes.
You can't thrive at the quarterback position without throwing between the numbers, between the hashes, driving the ball into small windows in the middle of the field. Now, the air raid, whatever you want to call Kingsbury spread offense in the NFL, he doesn't like the term air raid, but it's not going to ask for the same principles of like a Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell type offense, a Sean McVay offense, the stuff that I love, where you think about Matt Stafford or Cousins or what McCarthy's going to be playing in now, where it's, you know, play action, middle of the field, pop pass over a linebacker's head, you know, that little 17 square in, that dig route behind a zoning linebacker in that little area in the zone between the linebacker and the safety, you know, cross in the middle of the field. Those throws are a staple in some offenses. They're not going to be as big a deal in the Kingsbury offense, but there are still some, you know, they like outside the numbers stuff. They like the verticals. That's all well and good.
The other teams get paid to play too. They're going to make you do the
thing. But you're still going to major in those throws and have to minor in the underneath stuff or the middle of the field stuff. And I think he's exceptional short and intermediate in that way. I'm more concerned or not even concerned, curious about the stuff we didn't see a lot of.
Right.
From like 10 to 20 yards between the hashes, between the numbers, what's that going to look
like? Fitting those tight windows in there with timing anticipation. It's the next level stuff that, as you touched on, a couple great ones that do that with regularity. And this is the pros, all right? Like in the NBA, they're going to figure out, can you hit a jump shot if you're wide open? If not, they'll give it to you until you prove you can do it. Or in baseball, like if the scouting report is, he can't hit a curveball. You bet you see curveballs when you step into the box for a while until you prove you can do something with it. They're going to make you do what's uncomfortable. That really was, you know, one of Belichick's hallmarks, honestly, as a defensive game planner, both as a coordinator then as a coach. We know what you like to do very well. We're going to make you do the thing you don't like to do very well just to see what happens. Maybe take away your best option and focus everything on that. So 100%. I like to believe it for Daniels, as a guy that likes Daniels a lot, as an unanswered question. To me, there's a great skill set. There's a great list of talents. There's a great list of abilities. The idea that he can't do those things, can't throw over the middle, I refuse to believe. Now, he may not be able to. I'm not accusing
him. And I hope nobody's saying he can't, because that's outrageous.
Well, some said he can't because he didn't.
Right. Right. But even those people, like if I ever use the word can't, I'm not saying you're suggesting I did. It's because they're saying this is not part of his game yet, or this is not something he showed on tape. They're just misspeaking. But I don't think anybody really believes he definitively can't. But if you haven't done a lot of it, it's a skill and a trait that's important that's going to have to come.
Well, the biggest one that Belichick was talking about, something that you hit on very astutely, is when he tucks. In other words, progression, one,
this
two, three.
One of my huge gripes.
Or one, two, or whatever it is. Like if you decide, hey, this isn't there, what are you doing? Are you running to run? Which sometimes, by the way, is great. That can be a backbreaker, right? That can be awesome. You don't want to take that away from someone that's that good with the football.
I was actually pumped to hear Belichick bring this up. Because this was one of the things that, like, I jotted down when I watched him that I didn't really hear as a huge critique, but you do hear in some places, which is, I like when my quarterbacks pull the ball down to reset to throw. Move, run out of trouble, and make the big play. You're a quarterback, man. Let's throw the ball. You got the best deep ball in the nation last year. 22 tutties and zero picks, 67% on 25 or more, or 20 yards or more downfield. So when things are crashing in or you're getting away from someone, move to reset, extend and create. He pulls the ball down. The play's over. He's just running, which is awesome when you're ripping off 65 against Florida.
Right. He ran for 1,100 yards, which is why people don't criticize it. But at the next level, I don't necessarily want you running for 1,100. You can run for 7. But you know what I mean? You can make a play here or there. And again, those can be back-breaking, excellent plays where the defense has everything solved, flushes you from the pocket, you escape the grasp, turn into a first down. I mean, how many times did Pat Mahomes shuffle for first downs or over for various championship runs? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's that fine line between, I'm going to buy a little time for my receiver, or we can make a big play when everybody's sort of sucked up thinking I'm going to run and they go over the top, or you know, converting something isn't there. There's a fine line there. It's really hard to coach because you've got this unreal all-world athlete that can make people miss, that can run like a superstar in the open field, but you also want to be able to add that extra part of the skill set. I thought that was the most astute observation from Belichick is, and I think teams are going to figure this out, when that first part of the play is over, when it's not there, he tucks it, it's telegraphed. You know what's doing. It's running. There's no more plastering, no more worrying about where the receiver's going, breaking off the route, working, mirroring the quarterback, or maybe leaking deep. He's running. That's got to change.
I got a Dan Quinn theory. I want to bounce off Danny. Micah Parsons said something that made me feel even more strongly about it. I've got that audio. We'll do that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
I will play this Micah Parsons audio for you first, and then I'm going to give you my Dan Quinn theory. I have floated it, but I want to go harder with it. So first, this was Micah Parsons. He was doing a draft show, I think, with Bleacher Report. He and CJ Stroud. Parsons is really big personality. Does a bunch of like podcasts and shows. Pretty entertaining guy. And Stroud is super smart and just did I was really impressed with all of his draft coverage and breakdowns. So cool of Bleacher Report or whoever it was, but I think it was them. They got them in the mix. But this was Parsons talking about the Commanders and Jaden Daniels.
Which is hard in the NFL, but those better quarterbacks can do it. But you can hide those type of deficiencies with these type of quarterbacks. So this is something I figured Dan Quinn would do because
he hated facing them.
Bro, when we played Hurts, he'd be like, man, this guy's annoying. He's hard to bring down. But here go a bunch of film of us just watching him go for runs, and this is how we attack him. This is it. So I think he went and got his own dual threat quarterback.
I love it.
And I'm super happy for him.
So look, that's just a comment from a former player about Dan Quinn, when they played dual threat quarterbacks, being like over the top in the preparation and how difficult it will be to stop them or whatever. But you know how I felt all along. I think Dan Quinn really, 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 really wanted Jaden Daniels. That's always been my perception. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's hit it well. I think Peters may have been the exact same, by the way, but Peters did a way better job hiding it, I think. Daniels, when he comes on the Junkies, game changer versus athlete. You know, we said it probably didn't mean anything. Maybe it does. Now we're working back from the result. I'm not sure. He goes and picks him up driving the car with Adam Peters from the airport. The other guys are getting the Uber. You could say that doesn't matter. Working back now from the result, maybe it did. I'm not really sure. But it seemed to me like all along he wanted him. And a lot of national media people made it very clear at every single mile marker. Dan Quinn's going to advocate for Jaden Daniels because he loves quarterbacks that he doesn't want to have to game plan for. Remember that whole
Yes,
shtick?
Totally. Yep.
That's kind of what Micah Parsons was just saying there. So I really think I don't want to say he was like more influential because it was Peter's decision, I'm sure. But Dan Quinn kind of plays like, I'm just here to coach, man. I just work here. I'm employee number 14. I want nothing to do with the scouting part of it. I have to imagine he's the head coach. he had a loud voice in the room, and that voice was screaming Daniels.
Yeah, and for a guy that's professionally tried to stop offenses and quarterbacks and players, the guy that you feel like is your kryptonite or the style of player that you're kryptonite, you're going to advocate for. I totally understand that. I mean, a lot of times, you know, sometimes every once in a while can lead to a bad signing. You know, like if you're a team and some guy that's not particularly good, but he kills you every time you see him. It's like every time you see this guy in person, he's going, like in the NBA, going for 20-10 against you, even though he does nothing against anybody else. Maybe you think he's better than he actually is because every time you see him, he's shoving it on you or whatever. I get that. So I agree with that, actually. I think Dan Quinn kind of couldn't help himself because he knows the challenges. If this blossoms, if this is right, how tough it is to deal, even though he's not a great passer, a guy like Justin Fields, how tough it is to deal with a guy, even if he's not throwing it great like Jalen Hurts. They pose problems. And the more problems you can pose for a defense, the more things they have to account for, in theory, the easier it should be for an offense.
This was Dan Quinn on the Commanders' own media channel. They put this out. I think this was a video of him talking about early on getting to watch Daniels.
You could just tell this was a guy that was on it. And so I can vividly remember being in his office, and we put one of the first games on was of Jaden and watching him play and his detail, the explanations, mm-hmm. what he saw. It was just like going to a master class in scouting. And so it was like, all right.
So a couple of things. I guess it's probably really good that they watch the tape together, and I don't know when that would be in the process, but do you think that he's referencing watching the tape with Peters and going to a master class, meaning like Peters is this unbelievable scout and he's noticing things and he's pointing these things out to me, which is great. I like the collaborative effort. Do you think they'd already studied them separately a bunch before they came together? Because like as much as I think that the coach-GM collaboration is so important and all I've wanted is what they've got, which is like the Dan Campbell – and why can't I think of the name of the GM in Detroit right now, who's awesome? Brad Holmes.
Holmes.
Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, like, relationship and, like, bromance. And they have that here now. If you're just watching tape together, like, there's going to be too much agreeing for me. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So, like, I'm sitting there with Adam, and we're in his office watching Jaden, and it was just like being taken to church with a scout. I hope that was, like, after they both watched 40 hours by themselves and they came together to go over notes. Thoughts?
With you. Because if you're, and this is what I always felt like, when you don't have a good boss, I'm not saying this is the case, but in general, you don't have a good boss, and everyone's afraid of the guy or gal, or that you work for a tyrant, you try to anticipate what they want to hear. And you lose honesty. You lose the good debate. You lose pushing and pulling, but for the greater good, right? What everyone should do is come into a room with their professional evaluation and have to defend it. And then you reach the best possible decision. Doesn't always work, but that's the best process. When you get a little tyrant, like Dan Snyder, for example, in charge, everybody slowly starts to figure out, if I'd like to keep my job, if I'd like to stay here, I'm going to try to think what Dan thinks. That's the way to go. And then privately, you're texting somebody going, this is a disaster, this is terrible, and you CYA and you look for something else. You update your resume on LinkedIn. But so, yeah, you want collaboration. Of course you do. Of course you want as many smart minds on it as possible. But it leads to those press conferences where Ron Rivera saying one thing and Martin Mayhew, regardless of whatever Ron Rivera just said, says coach is absolutely right when he wasn't right for 4 years and he was terrible at this. So, yeah, I do hope they did their independent study.
Top of the hour right here on Grant and Danny. We're getting to know Johnny Newton, the D-tackle from Illinois, his defensive coordinator and D-line coach in school, is going to stop by the show. We're going to get to know and figure out why this guy, number one, fell to the second round and why Washington feels like they got such a steal. That's coming up next right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.